Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Why is that? Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. So join Iron Jock Nation now and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjock.com. Rob Hernandez and Gary D'Amato with you here on Talking.Golf, another Sunday edition, as schedules being what they are, and really a lot to talk about after the fact this weekend. So we didn't want to just pour out a podcast in the middle of the weekend when we had Casey Danielson in contention on the Symetra Tour. She closes out a great season on the feeder tour that'll propel her to the LPGA tour. Steve Stricker back in action at the Furyk and Friends event, the first year Champions Tour thing, and also the Whitewater Warhawks in the WIAC Women's Golf Championship with their drive for five, one for the thumb, as we talked about a couple weeks ago on the podcast. But Gary D'Amato, we start out with Casey Danielson, a year that will propel her to where she's wanted to go now for three or four, the LPGA Tour, and she goes out with a bang in the Symetra Tour Championship down in Daytona Beach.
Yeah, really a near perfect way to finish her season, Rob. You know, she won twice earlier this season. She won in May, and then she won in July down in French Lick, Indiana, and nearly pulled it off again today in the final season-ending event on the Symetra Tour, finishing solo second. She was tied for the lead after birdieing the 16th and 18th holes to get to 20 under, and then Prima Thamarax.
We're going Thamarax there, Gary. We're going Thamarax. Heavy on the Thamar.
she came along in the group right behind Casey's and eagled the final hole to win the tournament at 22 under. But Casey moves up from sixth to – she found out almost 3 weeks ago that she'd already earned her – locked up her exempt status on the LPGA Tour. She couldn't be bumped out of the top 10 in the race for the card. So this was icing on the cake. She moved up to third. And we'll have an LPGA player from Osceola, Wisconsin next year, Rob.
And that's great. And, you know, I've been watching a lot of the LPGA Tour down the stretch, Gary. And it's the kind of tour where once you get hot, you can make, you know, do a lot of things. I think that the knock on the LPGA Tour is that brand recognition, name identity has been very hard. And for those of us on the outside looking in, it might be hard to relate to, because there's not an Annika Sorenstam or a Lorena Ochoa or a Nancy Lopez from, you know, way back in our era. But what there is a ton of great golf and a lot of great golfers from all over the world. I mean, I guess we've kind of talked about it, not on a podcast, but the LPGA Tour perhaps ahead of its time in being a global tour. And now, as you say, a young lady from tiny Osceola, Wisconsin, gets to mix it up with, you know, women from all over the world. But really, she's already done that on the Symetra Tour, because there is a heavy, heavy international influence there. And if you can make it on the Symetra Tour with its, you know, back roads and side streets, and make some money at it and then get your status, I think you can make it anywhere. What do you think, what do you expect of Casey as she makes this next step in her career, Gary?
You know, I agree, Rob. You know, she shot, she was one of four players in the field to break 70 in all four rounds at LPGA International Daytona Beach, and that has been an LPGA venue, you know, many times in recent years, in past years. So to shoot 67, 66, 69, 66, you know, you translate that to LPGA Tour courses, and you know, if she can do that when she gets to the big tour next year, she stands to do very well and possibly make a lot of money.
And obviously her resume speaks for itself. I just got done writing about the fact that, and we'll talk more about the WIA State Tournament here in a few minutes, but Ava Saleh out of Prescott, a junior for the Cardinals, is trying to become the first public school individual to win a state championship in 8 years. And the 8 years before that, the WIA Division II state championship was won only in Osceola with Lindsay and Casey Danielson, Lindsay winning four, then Casey winning four. So she had that going for her. And then she goes to Stanford and had great success there. But success at a Division I university, these days, you know, you've got successful people are a dime a dozen. I think the thing that stands out to me, and tell me what you think about this, Gary, Casey's approach to golf is as laid back as I've ever seen with someone who wants to get to where she's going, the LPGA Tour. I would always think that, you know, boy, at some point she's going to say, you know, Rob, I'm really frustrated because I can't put four good rounds together, or that, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, I can take that next step. She never, ever said that when I talked to her. I don't know what she said when she talked to you, Gary, but the thing is, she was very consistent in her message that today's round was simply a stepping stone to tomorrow's round, whatever that may be. And there really wasn't too much stress placed on the outcome of a golf tournament in Casey Danielson's world.
Yeah, you know, she did a lot of work with sports psychologists this year, Rob, and we wrote about that a couple times earlier this year after she won in French Lick. In fact, I talked to her the week she won. I was down there to play in the Pro-Am, sat down with her, interviewed her for half an hour, and she talked, and then she went on to win the tournament. And she talked about working with a sports psychologist, probably to address some of the issues she talked about, and you know, internal pressure and all that kind of stuff that golfers go through at this level. But you know, she finished 35th on the Symetra Tour in 2018 on the money list. Then she moved up to 23rd in 19, 18th last year, third this year. So that's remarkable. She has made very steady progress over those 4 years. You know, not many golfers can jump, you know, keep continuing to get better and better each year, which she has done.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing what she can do now with LPGA Tour status. And the neat thing about this, Gary, is unlike the PGA Tour, which had the, what is it, the 48-hour off season before the start of the next wraparound season, the LPGA does take a bit of a break and will after their season-ending events. I think they've got three left. And then, you know, the things will pick up again January 1st. So she's got a little time to get some you know, rest and relaxation and work on her game over the winter. And so we'll continue to monitor what Casey Danielson does as she makes the jump now from the developmental tour, the Symetra Tour, to the LPGA Tour in 2022. The other professional event going on this afternoon down in Florida, the first annual, and everybody hates it in the newspaper business when we say first annual, the first
right.
Constellation Furyk and Friends PGA Tour Champions event hosted by the aforementioned Jim Furyk. And Steve Stricker, 71, 67, 70, finishes T7 in his first event since hoisting the Ryder Cup trophy at Whistling Straits. And then Jerry Kelly, 76, 68, 72, showed some glimmer of breaking out of what's been a little bit of a slump for Jerry. And he drops five spots today to finish T46. Your winner down in Florida, Phil Mickelson. The guy's money on the senior tour, Gary. And boy, if I were to start making my wish list for 2022, more Steve Stricker, more Phil Mickelson on the PGA Tour champions. What about you?
Yeah, I'd love to see those two go at it on a more regular basis. This was only Phil's, I believe, fourth Champions Tour event, and he's won three of them. That's pretty 75%. That's not even Tiger can touch that winning percentage, Rob. But yeah, Steve, I'm sure he had a little bit of a Ryder Cup hangover. Might have taken him a little while to get going and, you know, sort of getting a rhythm of playing in a tournament again. I know he brought his Ryder Cup trophy and his President's Cup trophy to show off down there. That was in Jacksonville, right?
Correct.
Jacksonville, Florida. Yeah. So, and as for Jerry, we don't know. Neither one of us have talked to him in a little bit. I don't know if he's got a little injury bug going or if he's just struggling with part of his game. We're going to have to look into that, Rob.
Yeah. I'll see him in a few weeks at the Charles Schwab Cup in Phoenix. And, he has looked, when I've watched on TV, like he's, you know, maybe the back sort of acting up again, but we'll check into that. He always seems to have an injury this time of year that keeps him from really, you know, finishing these seasons strong. And, but, you know, certainly not for lack of effort. You mentioned hangover with Steve Stricker. I got a chuckle out of the transcripts from his pre-tournament media interview where he said, yeah, I'm sure there'll be a little bit of a Ryder Cup hangover. Not the alcoholic kind of hangover, just the plain. Yes. And good of him to mention that it wasn't that one, because I was a little concerned after they left the the press conference there on Sunday at Whistling Straits that this may be a celebration to rival, Summerfest or Oktoberfest in Wisconsin, the way those guys were in such a good mood.
Well, Steve may have not had an alcohol hangover, but I guarantee you a couple guys on his team did it, because they were already feeling pretty good in the news conference, which was, we talked about that, Rob. It was one of the all-time great post-event news conferences in any sport. Those guys just had a blast. So we'll have to see where Steve goes from here. Obviously, he's coming home now, right, Rob? Because his daughter is playing in the state tournament starting tomorrow, correct?
That's right. Izzy Stricker and the Wanakee Warriors will be over at University Ridge trying to chase down two-time defending champion Middleton, one of two defending champions in the field, Brookfield Central. The other, we'll talk more about that in a second as we are currently in the What's Up portion of Talking.Golf, the very popular What's Up portion, powered by our Instagram page at wis.golf. If Jim Kelch and I can remember to text Megan Augustine with pictures from the WI State Tournament, your Instagram feed for @wis.golf will be filled with photos and hopefully more candid stuff than the action stuff. Especially I love those the vans that these teams take to the state tournament because they're always decorated. So we'll shoot those Megan's way, and she'll put those on our Instagram page at wis.golf. Give it a follow. We've talked about Casey Danielson, a former WI State champion four times over. Steve Stricker, a former WIA state champion on the boys' side. And we are going to talk about now the WIAC championship, the WIAC featuring UW-Whitewater going after an unprecedented, I believe, fifth consecutive team title among women's golf teams in the State University Conference. And they get it done today. They fire a final round 324 to finish at 958. That's 11 shots better than UW-Lacrosse, which had the best round of the final day at 314. Eau Claire and UW Stout and UW Oshkosh round out the top five. And in the individual competition, Abby Filipiak, a sophomore out of UW Stout, goes 76, 76, 78 and wins by four over Lexi Mead of UW Eau Claire. Lexi transferred to the Blue Golds from Drake University at the start of the calendar year, and has been a very great addition to the Division III conference, and that has played now two conference championships in a span of 5 months. Marky Ash, Lily Shepherd of Whitewater, and Molly Larson of Lacrosse round out the top five. Lily Shepherd, a young lady out of Kaukauna who had a great championship, Gary. UW-Whitewater graduated three fifth-year seniors. You almost never hear of fifth-year seniors at the Division III level. They graduated three of them off of their fourth straight conference championship team in May, and they come back and win. You and I both know Andrea Wieland. She's a tireless worker. She and her husband, Kirk, own a golf course in Milton at Oak Ridge, and they're actually building a house on the 15th hole at Oak Ridge. So her plate very full, and yet she keeps turning out great teams year after year.
Yeah, shout out to my Warhawks, Rob. I'm an alum, as some people know, and very proud of what they were able to accomplish selfishly. But, they were a little vulnerable this year, weren't they? They could have been upset. In fact, they weren't. They were in, I believe, second place going into the second round, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, it was. And really, the first round was a testimony to how deep and how balanced Division III golf in the state of Wisconsin has become. Carthage College with Coach Brandy Johnson won the CCIW a couple weeks ago, and they have really got something going down there as well. But Whitewater started out with a 323 and trailed both Eau Claire and Oshkosh, and you had the top five teams were all within 10 shots of each other, and it was a great competition. In fact, the first time ever that five teams have broken 1,000 for the 54-hole event, and that isn't easy. Especially on a course like Reedsburg Country Club, and reports were, Gary, that the greens were every bit as fast as they are when you and I play there during the summertime. So they had it once again held up as a great championship venue. So you gave a shout out to your Whitewater Warhawks. So I'm gonna take the opportunity to give a shout out to the individual winner, Abby Filipiak, who I had the opportunity to caddy for at the Minnesota State Women's Amateur a couple years ago. I had looped 18 holes with my daughter, and Abby, whose sister was a teammate of my daughter's at Stout back a few years ago, was making the turn, and she didn't have anyone on the bag, and I wanted to get a look at this. It was the Town Country Club in St. Paul, which, you know, you know what the great classic courses, the country club courses of Milwaukee are like. This one was bizarre. I mean, it had greens built in the shelves, and like a lot of courses, they had gotten rid of a lot of trees and put some fescue grasses in. It was firm, it was fast, and it was a test. And so I went out, she was like in, 11th grade maybe, and just had a certain focus about her. So this is her sophomore year at Stout. She finished top 10 in the spring championship for the 2020-21 season in May, and now comes out with a win. So a lot of happy people up at UW Stout in Menominee and in her hometown of Elk River, Minnesota. So shout out to Abby Filipiak, and really a shout out to the WEAC, because as I told Andrea Whelan in a text, you know, this is really the year that kind of moves the WIAC into a different category of competitive golf, because the coaches at you know, Whitewater, Eau Claire, really all around the conference, they had all had great number one players, and you could tell in the way that the team competition broke down that it's come a long way and should be a great option, especially for those golfers who might not have the opportunities at the Division I level. That is what's up here on Talking.Golf. Again, what's up, powered by our Instagram page at wis.golf. Time now for what's next, powered by our Twitter results handle at wis.golflive. We will have results going up as soon as we're done recording the podcast here on a Sunday night from all the different college golf tournaments and the Symetra Tour event that Casey Danielson finished second in, the PGA Tour Champions event. Check it out at wis.golflive on Twitter. Gary, the next couple of days, WIA State Girls Championship over at University Ridge. You mentioned Izzy Stricker in the field. She's had a great run through the postseason. And boy, how exciting as a parent, if you're Steve Stricker, to be able to go from Ryder Cup to helping out, you know, a buddy in Jim Furyk, you know, get his tournament started down in Florida, coming back. I know he's looking forward to go out hunting, but boy, these are once in a lifetime things, aren't they? When you got a kid like, you know, his daughter Izzy that, you know, really has made great strides here. And I kind of feel like maybe we saw her up at Whistling Straits. I think, you know, seeing that kind of competition and that kind of passion is really fueled here in the postseason.
Oh, there's no question about that, Robin. Yeah. You know, pride as a parent, you know, which one does Steve hold in higher regard, winning a Ryder Cup or watching his daughter playing a state tournament? You know, a lot of people might laugh at that, but I guarantee you that if they're not equal, they're pretty close, because, you know, you only get a chance as a parent to watch your child go through her high school years or his high school years one time per child. And so this is going to be a thrill for Steve to get to watch her, his daughter. And he got to watch his other daughter, Bobby, win a big tournament at the Women's State Amateur this year. So pretty cool.
And he got to caddy for Bobby in the LPGA Tour qualifying school out in California. So before the Ryder Cup. So yeah, Steve's plate's been full. And you're right. I mean, this is really, you know, cool stuff. The best part, you know, Izzy and the Wanakee qualified for state last year when the tournament was held over at Black Wolf Run. Best part for me was to kind of talk to Steve on the level of golf parent to golf parent, because golf parents always get worked up over different things. And especially those of us who have seen tournaments and you know, and the way that, you know, the difference between, you know, the summer tournaments where everybody's kind of into golf and they understand all the little intricacies of etiquette and the rules. Steve and I had a great conversation last fall about, you know, course etiquette at the high school level. And it's one of those things I explained to him that you got to balance, you know, what do you call out someone on and try to educate them in the etiquette of the game versus, you know, letting them learn it and making sure that you don't do something that's going to make them feel uncomfortable in their position as a up and coming golfer where they wouldn't want to do it again next year. And so it really is, you know, it's a delicate balance, and it's a difference when you're, you know, someone, you know, like Steve Stricker, who's been involved in the game for, you know, decades and have seen it kind of played at the highest levels. And you come back and you see, you know, different things at the high school level. So that's one storyline that we'll follow. We've got, as I mentioned, Middleton trying to go for three consecutive years, winning a state championship. And Gary, because of COVID, they could become the first team ever. And we really hope ever to win a state championship twice in the same calendar year. They won the alternate season state tournament in May. And they're favored to win here this fall in the next 2 days at University Ridge. But it's fun to play with all those firsts because of COVID, isn't it? The first to win in a calendar year twice would be something else that we, again, like we hope we never see again.
Yeah, for sure. And Rob, I hope you brought your rain gear. The forecast doesn't look great, does it? I'm supposed to play in a two-man event at Lasonia tomorrow, and it's 70% chance of rain. So hope you brought your rain stuff.
I brought my rain pants. I brought my golf shoes. I kind of the same outfit that I brought for the Ryder Cup, because we anticipated some, you know, some action off the lake there for the Ryder Cup matches. And we got it for a couple of the practice rounds once or twice. But, you know, the days of competition were just golden. And but yeah, I've seen that. You know, it would be a shame if it especially like last year, it shortened the state tournament over at Black Wolf Run. I got a great lightning shot out of it, but you know, for the sake of the competitors, I hope we get 36 holes in. But so I did bring that. I brought you know, plenty of notepads to take notes, because between Division One, Division Two, there'll be no shortage of great storylines. And again, you can check out our coverage at wisconsin.golf here the next couple of days as we bring you the WIA state tournament. Jim Kelsch will actually have the hard job, you know, still kind of getting over the Ryder Cup and all those hills and moguls at Whistling Straits. He's got that knee brace on, Gary. I'm hoping he can make 36 holes here at the University Ridge.
Yeah, he must have walked 15 to 18,000 steps every day and at Whistling Straits, and those are not level easy steps to walk. So, but Jim's in good shape. I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah. He walked 15 to 18,000 steps each day at Whistling Straits. You and I walked the 500 steps from our seat the media center over to those ice cream cookies in the media facility room there that we had a hard time staying away from. So that was kind of the tail of the tape there. Gary, what do you think? Anything else we need to talk about? I mean, the season's getting a little bit long in the tooth here. We don't have much time left to be talking golf here. What else we got on our checklist? Anything on your bucket list? You're playing golf tomorrow at Lasonia. Anything else on the horizon? We can your sweet spot tomorrow is going to be fun, because a lot of post Ryder Cup stuff will be in that thing.
Yeah, a lot of little news and nuggets and fun stories came out of the press conferences last week down in the Champions Tour event. So I've got that loaded up, and it's going to be a fun. I interviewed Martha Nauzi at length. I'm doing a Wisconsin Legend story that's going to run after the state tournament's over. I attended one day of the 3-day seminar in which teachers from all over the country come, who are devotees of the late Manuel De La Torre. They met at Western Lakes, and they do a 3-day seminar every year at a different location to sort of brush up on his concepts, to tell stories, and to keep his legacy going. And Martha was there. She demonstrated specialty shots, Rob, that Manuel taught her. Wow. Really cool. I mean, you know, hitting shots backhanded up against a tree and off the downhill line from fried egg lies. She was great. And I interviewed her at length. And so that story will be running later in the week.
Now, has Martha caught the pickleball craze that Sherry Steinhauer has?
Yeah, she has. She says she's not on Sherry's level, but she loves playing pickleball. And she's instead of swinging a golf club, she's swinging a hammer these days, Rob. She's volunteers for Habitat for Humanity. Wow. And she's got a house she bought in Phoenix that's a fixer-upper. So she's doing all the work on that, too.
Well, how about that? That's awesome. Well, can't wait to look forward to that. And then on that topic, I just, before we started recording the podcast, spent some time on the phone with Mary Hafeman, the first ever WIA state champion back in 1972. And our quote-unquote boss, Linda Stack Hughes, who was on the first winning team at the state tournament for Madison West back in 72. Gary, do you know it's been 50 years of high school girls golf in the state of Wisconsin? Wow. When I first started covering high school sports, you know, it was like 15 years away, you know, removed from when a lot of the sports, and especially on the girls' side, started. I'm feeling my age, my friend.
Yeah, you know, I still have never seen Linda swing a golf club. I know she still is a very fine player. We have to arrange for a round with John and Linda one of these days. If not this year, for sure next year when they're both in Madison and we can all get together and play.
I think we need to get you down to Phoenix, Gary. We need to have the Wisconsin.golf winter meetings, and I want to see that too.
That'd be okay.
She was saying that on that team that played at it was at Winnegame Golf Course near Appleton, two golfers wound up going to the University of Wisconsin. Linda went to Florida. Her sister, Karen, went to Arizona State, and I've got to look at my notes. There was one other one that had Division One. Let me see if I can find that here quick.
That's impressive.
Let's see here. Oh, two at UW, Arizona State, and then Florida. And then Mary Hafman followed Linda to Florida by way of South Florida, I believe. So, back then, if you showed an ability to swing the golf club at the level that those young ladies did, there were a lot of opportunities for you at the college level. Well, she also mentioned our other colleague, Sarah Starmer, who played at Arizona State too. So there were a lot of great talent back then that just needed the opportunity. They were the ones who broke through and gave these girls today the opportunity. And they marvel at what they're seeing at the state high school level these days. And we'll make sure and bring it all to you here the next couple of days. Gary, we'll let you go on that. And we'll talk golf again next week.
Sounds great, Rob. Thanks.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, this is Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf, powered by and brought to you by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Why is that? Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. Join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.